Yes, I think the thing I remember, because I was seven when the war broke out, blackout. That was the first thing, because it, before, when you looked out, you could see houses and how early people drew back their curtains and things, but the blackout was very difficult. And we had a skylight above the stairwell, and oh dear, trying to, well, we had painted black, because, and everything else had a sort of inner lining of black.
Yes.
And then had to remember to take the bulbs out of the outdoor lights above the front door and things, and put sticky tape around the thing, the switch, so that you didn't go and switch on a light by mistake. And that was really my first sort of inkling that something was different. And then ration books, and going to rations, going down to McDougall's stores, everything just about was rationed. Fish wasn't rationed, but the nearest fish was Inverness, and you could ask them to put a parcel on the bus, and then it got thrown out down by McCaskill's.
Do you remember Maggie the butcher?
Maggie and Mary, sisters, Maggie and Mary McKenzie, and oh, the butcher shop, it's where Fran and Steve park their white van, and oh dear, going down and to see what was on offer. It was a wooden building with probably a tarred roof and things, and wooden floorboards. They were troubled with rats, and so some of the meats, like corned beef and things, came in tins, and they flattened out the tins and nailed them over the and mince was went quite. You could do quite a lot of things with mince, and sometimes their shaky hands, the mince went on the floor, and they picked it up, and they sort of pushed, brushed off the sawdust. And sausages were known as little bags of mystery. Because nobody knew quite what was in them. Occasionally, you were lucky if you were sort of quick off the mark, because offal wasn't rationed.
Yes.
So kidneys and liver and haggis and things like that. But rations for two didn't go very, very far. You were rather small. And at one stage, you had, by law, to take part of your meat ration in bully beef. And oh dear, the number of every magazine was full of recipes of how you could disguise bully beef in different ways. They had it.
My uncles, who were in the Desert War out in the Middle East, they always called corned beef desert chicken.
Oh!
Because that's all we ever got.
No, we were quite lucky because the grandparents here, up at the Smithfield, the Heights it was called then, there was a house cow, and so we used to get milk from there, occasional eggs. And then rabbits, of course, were free for all, and Mum had a tutu, and she was able to get one or two for the pot. And it was Mr. and Mrs. Cameron. Johnny Cameron had been a keeper, and then when he retired, and then the Andersons came next. But Mrs. Cameron always had the milk. They had a dairy tacked on to the end of the house. It was a joke. She was always saying, "Oh, I know when Mrs. Douglas is coming to collect the milk, because I hear the dog barking." Well, it was quite a long way between the Heights and Cottage of Free, but I had a corgi. This must have been just after the war. And oh, the corgi used to go mad. He used to grab the front tire of your bike and shake it. So the trick was, throw a stick, and by the time the dog had found the stick, we got to as far as the first gate in a way. And things. But she said she always knew when we were coming, because she heard, yip, 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 yip.
Yes.
And we had a Labrador, because Colonel Donnelly's father, the Brigadier Grant, and he was away on active service abroad, and Mum looked after his dog called Ness for while they were away. But